For those of you that don't know me or know what I'm up to, I'm actually going through training for ordained ministry at the moment. So I've just started my first year. What that means is occasionally I get the opportunity to try out some of my future, hopefully, life skills on poor unsuspecting people like your good selves. So thank you for your patience yet again. So I did think that Keith was having a bit of a joke when he said to me, Adrian, could you please talk to us about how love is patient, given that I am one of the least patient people known. I find actually waiting for an egg to boil just really frustrating and hard work. That's where we're at. Now this, as you will hopefully realise, is part of a series of talks based on You Are Loved. And we're looking, you know, 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul says lots of things about love. Love is patient, love is kind, and much more. Now, describing love, I think, is a very tricky thing to do. So what I feel of and think about love, I think about love in a certain way, and I suspect, you know, you might have your own view about how you think about love. So then to think about how brave it was, in a way, for Paul to write down what he considered to be divine love, you know, is very interesting, and we'll explore some of that together this morning. I think it is interesting that Paul uses love is patient as the first description of love in 1 Corinthians 13. I think that's kind of fascinating. And there might be a reason for that, which we'll kind of get onto. Now, when we think about divine love and divine patience, it just feels in a completely different league to human patience. I was thinking about Nelson Mandela, who spent 27 years in a prison before he came out and became president of South Africa. And that's an extraordinary amount of patience for somebody to have and for a nation to have. But that's nothing compared to the patience that God has for us through his love. So I'm hoping to show today that God shows his love through his patience with us. And I'm hoping that we can have a think about what this might mean for us and how we might try and do the same. Though it's tricky. So, first of all, can we see God's huge patient love in his big plan? Now, I think we can, because if there's one thing we can see from the big rescue story in the Bible, or the rescue story actually of the Bible, is God's unbelievable patience with us. Now, let's just stand back a minute and take a look. So we start off with being given the perfect kingdom. It's brilliant. We're all happy. But what do? We mess it up. That must have already driven God a bit mad. And then the First Testament story that follows is not pretty. It's a story of people who fought God all the way, every step of the way. They kept complaining and turning away. They kept saying, oh, we haven't got enough food, haven't got enough water, when are you going to sort this out? They were just constantly whinging at God. In fact, one commentator, and I'm sure it's more than this, but one commentator spotted at least 14 times in the First Testament, or the Old Testament, the people just complaining and getting really frustrated with God. And even worse than that, so there's God looking and saying, well, come on, guys, you know, let's just get this sorted. Worse than that, Moses, their leader, disappears off up a mountain for 40 days, and when he comes back, they've made a bronze calf, and they're idolizing a bronze calf. I mean, you know, God must have no hair left, right, metaphorically. So I just can't imagine that. God is just so frustrated, just so anxious for us. And yet, through all of that story in the Bible, and all of those thousands of years, all of that time, God remains patient. And he's not just passively patient. So he's not just sitting back and saying, oh, yeah, whatevs, to use youth urban speak. He's not just, you know, he's actually engaged. He's actively patient. So, and I'm thinking about this word actively patient. Isn't that a contradiction? How can you be actively patient? It just seems like an odd thing to say side by side. But I think God was actively patient. Why do I think that? Well, God made it pretty clear to the Israelites that they were off track, sometimes in really clear ways. He also sent leaders like Moses and Joshua to advise them what to do. He also rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. He also sent great kings like Solomon and David. And he sent prophets, like Amos, to give warnings about being devoured by a fire because they rejected God. Now that kind of feels like a pretty, you know, clear set of messages to me, right? I mean, there's nothing, can't avoid that. And it sort of reminds me of the joke, and I do apologize. I know somebody told me this morning this joke is at least 34 years old in this church, but I think it did remind me of the man who is in his town, and there's the warning, the flood, you know what's coming, the flood warning. And they say, everybody get out of the town, there's a big flood coming. And he says, no, it's okay, God will save me. And the water starts to rise. Somebody drives past in their car and says, quick, get in the car, we can get out of town before the flood comes. He goes, no, it's okay, God will save me. And the water starts to rise a little bit more, and he's standing on a few chairs in his living room, and the canoe comes past and says, quick, get in the canoe, you know, the floods are coming. He goes, no, it's okay, God will save me. And then eventually he's going upstairs, the water's rising, he's leaning out the bedroom window, and a speedboat whizzes past, and they say, quick, get in the speedboat. He goes, no, it's okay, God will save me. You know where this is going. And then finally he's on the roof, the waters are just completely covering his house up, a helicopter comes past, drops the ladder down, and the helicopter says, get in, we can rescue you. And he goes, no, it's okay, because God will rescue me, God will save me. So he lets all that go, and unfortunately the floods come even further, it washes the house away, and he drowns. Oh, I know. And he's up in heaven, and he says, he's standing in front of God, he says, God, what happened? I put all my faith in you, and you didn't. Why didn't you come to save me? And he went, my son, I sent you a warning, I sent you a car, I sent you a canoe, I sent you a speedboat, I sent you a helicopter. What more do you need? So, and I know that's an old joke, but that just sort of feels a bit like the, you know, our Bible story, right? So all of these warnings, all of these signs and these ways of being saved. Now, that for me is kind of about one, this is about one patient God. And God showing his love by his patience, or through his patience. But even then, at our lowest point, God sends Jesus into our world to relieve us of the burden of our wrongdoings. And with it, the promise of a time where the presence of all that bad stuff is no more. How loving and patient is that? It's phenomenal. Now, today is Palm Sunday, where yet again we can see God's eternal handiwork in action. So long before Jesus is on the scene, the psalmist says, and today's Psalm 118 has the line in it, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which is what is recounted in today's gospel reading as being said by the crowds as Jesus enters Jerusalem as king, and as we heard and as we joined in. So we have to marvel at this patient love, God's patient love, in choosing just the right moment in history to bring or to make the fullness of God known to us through Jesus Christ, and giving us the gift of liberation that followed his death and resurrection. It's just brilliant. If you just stop and think about that for a second, that's brilliant. So what kind of patient, loving patience is God teaching us when he acts in this phenomenal way in our history? Well, he's teaching us a patience that waits, a patience that forgives, a patience that does not give up. He's teaching us a patience that keeps all the communication channels open, either directly or through other people. And we can just see all the way through the Bible, God uses people, speaks through people all the time. And that happens, is still happening right now and here and today. A patience that guides and allows for mistakes to happen, no matter how painful. And a patience that accepts being rejected again and again and again. And really significantly, it is a patience that is deeply, deeply relational. It is a patience, a loving patience, about a relationship with each other and with God. So showing our love in this way is going to be one tall order. But guess what? We aren't going to be doing this on our own. I think we can safely assume that if loving patience is good for God, it should be good for us. Seems a reasonable assumption. So let's take a look at how that patience is talked about further in the Bible. Now, the word patient and its variants gets mentioned about 49 times in the King James Version. There's a subtlety there. With the majority of them coming from Paul, it gets used to describe good behaviours. In fact, it is so important that it is named as one of the fruits of the Spirit, along with those other giants like love and joy and peace and faithfulness, self-control and so on. So it's a really important thing for us to try to be. In the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible, the word endurance is used in place of the original King James Version word patience. So patience, I think, is a word associated in some sense with a struggle. And Paul, in his letter to the Romans, talks about how this patience or endurance is born out of suffering, yet produces a hope that does not disappoint because God's love has been poured into our hearts. So there is something about knowing we can't do it on our own, having to be patient at times we find really difficult, but knowing that God's love is poured into our hearts to help us through that. And in fact, the other line from Psalm 118 is, his love endures forever. That's the first line. Yeah, that is what it's all about. His love endures forever. And the Bible story is an eternal plan of enduring love. So, and the word is also used as something that is required of us in our relationship with God. So where we are, so, you know, and it says again in the Psalms, we are asked to be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. So patience is a really important characteristic, a way of living, and a thing to aspire to that just demonstrates God's love for us, but also how we can demonstrate our love for other people. So how might we apply this great biblical story of patience to our lives? Now, I have to say, I said I was impatient. I think something happened to me which I found very frustrating. So as I've mentioned, I'm going through this training process. And before you get to the training process, you have to go through a selection panel. And you have to go through a whole load of assessments and lots of stuff. It took years. You can hear my voice already, how I felt about it. So it was a really frustrating time. And there was a moment when I had to get a form submitted by a certain deadline to secure a place on the training by for a certain year. If I missed that training slot, it would be another year, and I'd miss it. And that wouldn't matter so much, but at my age, it meant I couldn't go on to do full-time ministry, which is something I felt really cool to do. So I get a form to fill in, and in the form, it refers to another form that my mentor had forgotten to mention, and he was on holiday for 2 weeks. So I am now pacing up and down this. I can't do this. So I rang up somebody else involved with the ordination process and said, "Hi, Benny, would you mind? I just need this other form. I've got to get on and fill the forms, and I've really got to get it in, because if I don't, I'm going to miss the deadline, and it's just, I can't believe the administration's so terrible." And he went, "Adrian, you're not very patient, are you?" Okay, all right. And actually what happened was, I did actually miss the slot for that year's training. But in that year, a few things happened. One thing was they readjusted the age limit, so I can still go ahead on a full-time basis, praise the Lord. And it gave me time to sort my life laundry out. So my finances, my work stuff, you know, lots of things, spiritual life, and also for my family to go on the journey with me. It's a big deal going from where we are to that. So it was a really significant thing, and I could now look back, very short time frame, and go, God was in that. So God's loving patience was in that wonderful moment. So, and that patience can be, if you're going for things like ordination, it could be waiting for exam results. It could be Christmas morning, I have to say. Could never sleep Christmas night. So impatient. Still am, if I'm really honest, but it doesn't sound good. So it's been God has been active in that patience. Now, are we going to play the clip? Are we good to play the clip? Great. So this is a little clip from a film called Evan Almighty.
We get out of the building yard.
That's it.
I love that story. No, I don't. You know, a lot of people point to this story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They don't know what God is saying.
What is the story about then, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You don't have a story from the past. It's to invite side by side. Just like Noah and his family. Everybody there to the ark, side by side.
But my husband says, God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they pray for courage, God gives them courage. Does he give them opportunity to be courageous? If someone prays for family, do you think God's absence would warm and fuzzy feelings? Or does it give them opportunity to love? I got one. Black people serve. Enjoy.
There we go. So that line that, and you know, so God played by Morgan Freeman says, if people pay for patience, do you think I give them patience or opportunities to be patient? I think that's a wonderful line. And that I just really felt that spoke to me. I really wanted patience in the moment of waiting for all these forms and stuff. But God gave me the opportunity to be patient and to see his hand at work in my life. So will knowing about God's presence through all of this stuff, and then sometimes we can see it, sometimes we can't see it, does that stop the frustration and does that stop the pain? Well, no. Even Jesus entering Jerusalem on his journey to the cross, knowing everything that he knew, still felt pain. A lot of pain. But the story of the Bible shows us that even though the world is messed up now, we have a promise that it's going to come good. In between times, though, it can be really bumpy at times. But Paul put it brilliantly in his simple mantra of rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. So be rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. So let's now try and bring this all together. So I hope we've been able to see that through the eternal rescue story of the Bible, God shows us his love through his unbelievably accepting patience with us. It's an eternal rescue story. I also hope we've been able to see what a love that is actively patient looks like. It's not always easy, but we have God to help us to be the patient people that don't give up, that guide, that forgive, that communicate, and accept, and above all, trust in God's deepest desires for us. God wants you and me to know that his love for us is real. It's not some abstract or distant historic thing from the Bible. His massive, huge, immense love, immense patient love is waiting just for you, and thankfully me, right here and right now. Amen.